I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The former Niners Bleacher Report featured columnist now. Check him out, ninernoise.com, on Twitter, at Peter Panacea. Peter, how are you?
Doing good, guys. That was a push-off by Edelman, too, it looked like.
Well, sounds about right that the league did not call it on the Patriots. God, I hate the Patriots, Peter. Let's talk some Niners, shall we? Guru and I have been meant to get into it, and we're wondering, is it a big deal that they have not figured out either the GM or the head coaching spot at this point, or is it just a matter of who's available based on who's in the playoffs?
Well, you know, I think with a GM spot, you can afford to be a little selective because you are the only opening. So anybody looking to move up into that role, you're actually, you know, have your pick from a number of guys who are going to be top candidates. However, kind of the whole idea of picking who over who or who goes first, it's a little interesting. But as far as the head coaching gig's concerned, I think we're starting to figure out who the top candidates for the position were all along. At least I'd like to believe that to be the case with Kyle Shanahan and Josh McDaniels. And as long as those two guys are in the playoffs, I think it might tip a hand as far as the 49ers picking up one or the other if either the Falcons or the Patriots were eliminated. But at least with the Falcons' case, then moving on, I think this search can go on for a while.
Peter, with York being public enemy number one, you know, the press conference, I went into it before he even opened his mouth. I was like, this guy's not going to be able to win. And even whoever he deems to be his next GM and head coach, it's almost like the draft, right? We're not going to know until next season concludes or the season after that if he actually made the right decision, correct?
Well, yeah, and it's a crapshoot just like a draft. You know, you could find a brilliant head coach and put him into a bad situation with an okay or a poor general manager, and everybody's blaming the head coach. Or you could do it vice versa where, you know, I don't know, you look at what the Raiders went through. I mean, Reggie McKenzie wasn't exactly well-loved his first couple of years in Oakland, but then it took time and vision, and it worked out well. As far as what the 49ers are doing right now, I think the one thing that you at least have to give Jed York credit for is at least saying, hey, look, what needs to happen is a clean slate, and what happens forward from here needs to at least play out for a few seasons. So if success isn't reached with whoever it might be at the GM position or head coach, you at least have to give it a few years to try it out, as opposed to these one-and-done head coaching gigs that we've seen over the past few seasons.
I never call for people to be fired, Peter. And so I'm not saying this to call for a particular person's job, but I will continue to ask this question to people that are on the inside of the red and gold. At what point do people step in on Jed York and what he's doing with him not being a football guy, but making football decisions? At what point is this the last straw? Will he get another shot after this? At what point would somebody step in and say, you're no longer allowed to make the decisions football wise?
Well, if you look at ownership, his mother, Denise Bartolo York, you got to start thinking finance, because that's probably going to be the one thing the York family really pays attention to. And even if they don't necessarily care, the whole family-wise, as far as what the product on the field is like, you look at an empty Levi Stadium year after year. You think about the corporate sponsorships. You think about the luxury boxes and how empty those might start coming. That's where the ticker starts. That's where they start looking at Jed and saying, hey, whatever decisions you're making aren't working. So, yeah, I do think this is going to be a bit of a last straw. If whatever happens here becomes another failure, I think you'll see some drastic changes. But at the same time, I think York has to realize that, too, when he's considering his own future as CEO of the organization.
Peter, if I were to ask you, you know, you survey the situation, what's your preference? Who do you think is out there that would make the best head coach, general manager combination for the Niners?
You know, I really like Kyle Shanahan, and it's not so much like Shanahan's the super favorite. I do think Josh McDaniels will benefit from going through what he did in Denver and failing there. I think that's a big lesson, and I certainly hope that he's learned from that. But if you look at Kyle Shanahan's record, you know, I mean, going back through, you know, his time with Houston, with Washington, with Cleveland, I mean, his offenses have always been really, really good. If not good, they're competitive. And he's certainly done more with less. Now, when you compare him to Josh McDaniels, on the other hand, I mean, outside of New England, you think about Josh McDaniels and his time with the Denver Broncos, but also the 1 year when he was the offensive coordinator with St. Louis Rams wasn't very good. So that's got to be the situation that he would come into in San Francisco. So I just, you know, choosing between the two, just seems to me as if Shanahan would be a good fit. Personally, I like Elliott Wolf out of the Green Bay tree.
Green Bay,
but yeah, and I mean that would be kind of a favorite pick. But you know, there's not too bad of a situation where if you have a head coach coming in who says, "Hey, look, I can work with this GM candidate or whatever." I've always felt that a head coach is probably a little bit more important than the GM anyway, in terms of actually putting that talent to use.
I cringe normally at the hyperbole or the cliche of the quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. But, I mean, it really is when it comes to football. You have Aaron Rodgers. You can hide so many deficiencies that you otherwise would not be able to do. And so I'm asking all of this to ask you about Deshaun Watson at the number two overall pick. Should he not get selected number one overall, would you take him for the Niners organization?
Not at number two, no. Not at number two. If the 49ers traded down, and this was kind of a scenario I was throwing around in my head, let's say the 49ers trade out from number two to number five. The Tennessee Titans have the number five pick. I think it's number five, but Tennessee's got two picks in round one. And let's say the 49ers trade down there, land the number five pick, and then I think it's the number 16 pick that Tennessee's got. I wouldn't have no problem with 49ers drafting someone like Alabama's Reuben Foster at number five, and then looking at a guy like Deshaun Watson at number 16. I think the value's there. But at number two, I think Watson's a huge reach at that point. They need a quarterback. Watson's proven guys wrong time and time again. Love to see him do so again at the NFL level. But at number two, I just don't think the value's there.
Peter, speaking of quarterback, I got to ask you. I mean, I know it looks like Kaepernick is gone and he will not be the starting quarterback next year for the 49ers, but do you think there's a chance at all that, you know, they could rectify this under new management per se and he come back and start for the Niners next year?
Yeah, I actually wrote something about this. It was I'm not saying that this is what should happen. I think the 49ers, when looking at a clean slate, need a clean slate, and that includes quarterback. But I know Kaepernick's got that opt-out clause, and I think he's guaranteed to make what? I think it's $14.5 million next year in base salary. If he opts out and tests the market, he's not going to get that. You know, I mean, he's probably going to be a backup on some team. I don't see a lot of interest from him or in him around the league. So financially, it would make more than enough sense to stay with the 49ers. But you got to think whether or not the 49ers want to keep him. So, you know, that's going to be up to whatever general manager or whatever head coach comes in. Hey, do we want to look at this guy? Even as a stopgap option, just someone for 2017 to sort of hold the line until we figure out a long-term quarterback situation. And you know, who knows if Deshaun Watson's that guy or somebody else. But there's definitely a possibility that Kaepernick's still back with the 49ers next year, and I think financially it's a decision I think Kaepernick would make to stay in place for at least one more year.
Lastly here, for all the negativity that you've been getting from Niners fans, they still have a brand-new stadium, they still have a ton of money, and while you might not be thrilled with the people making the powerful decisions, it's not the worst job in the world for any GM or coach that comes in there, right, Peter?
No, absolutely not. And you know, I think the one thing that you got to consider for people coming into this organization, the clean slate part is pretty attractive. You know, I mean, you could look at, say, the Los Angeles Rams, where you've got a GM on the hot seat and Sean McVay goes in there, assembles a pretty good staff. But, I mean, I look at even the Rams situation as being much worse than that of the 49ers, where it looks as if your CEO, Jed York, has kind of put it two and two together and realized we need to start fresh and blank. And I think that's going to be attractive. Plus, hey, you know, it's a premier franchise in the league. It's not a lesser known one. There's the history there. There are the 5 Super Bowl rings. So, yeah, things could be a lot worse right now if you're a 49ers fan or a candidate coming in to try to land either one of two of those jobs.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, if nothing else, it's an attractive job. I mean, not only the market and being in the Bay Area and the Niners' history, but also just the fact that you have a clean slate. Peter Panacy, you saw him on Bleacher Report. He was the featured columnist. Now you can check him out on NinerNoise.com, on Twitter, at Peter Panacy. We always appreciate the time. Peter, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Yeah, you'll talk to you soon.
There you go. Peter Panacy. Great stuff from him, as per usual. I mean,
okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.